Hey everybody, welcome back again. Welcome back on this beautiful summer night. This is Eddie Prue from Seattle, Washington, joined as always by David Cellini from Linköping, Sweden. And today we have an episode entirely focused on the ridiculous manager carousel, if you will, that's happening in Italy. So first of all, good morning to you, David. Welcome. How are you? How's your summer going over there in Sweden?
Good morning, Eddie. I'm really excited. We have our first game of the season tomorrow, a cup game. So finally, we are allowed to play games. So all the hard work of our, a 5-month preseason will hopefully yield us a positive result tomorrow. So we haven't had any friendlies, so we go straight into the business end of the season with a knockout phase cup game. So it's going to be interesting.
Good deal. Well, if you've had 5 months to prepare, man, you got no excuses. So I expect a masterclass out there. So this is right up your alley. Italian football, anything to do with Italian football is your thing. It's got your name all over it. And we've got a very bizarre situation going on in Italy. And I guess the best way for us to get educated on it is to just let you fill us in on what is going on. There are coaches going in every direction, and it's bizarre, to say the least. So why don't you fill us in on what's going on a little bit?
Yeah, as you said, it can seem ridiculous from the outside, and hopefully we can shed some light on what's actually going on. So basically everything starts with Juventus's disappointing season. So they kind of felt that they needed to change their coach, and Andrea Pirlo was rumored to be on the way out. But that whole situation was accelerated when Antonio Conte left Inter after being crowned champions. A few weeks later, he had a meeting with the hierarchy and decided to leave, which meant that Inter needed a new coach, and their first choice apparently was Massimiliano Allegri. And when this started to hit the news, Juventus kind of panicked, because they realized that, okay, so Allegri, our former coach who won 5 straight titles with us and a bunch of cup titles as well as reaching 2 Champions League finals, it wouldn't be good for us if he rocks up at Inter. So they acted really quickly and reappointed Allegri as a head coach, and obviously then sacked Pirlo. So that was the first like new appointment being made. And with Inter then being without Conte and missing out on Allegri, they needed a new coach. So they went to Lazio and picked up Simone Inzaghi, who's done fantastically for Lazio for a good number of seasons now. So Inzaghi has been appointed the new coach of Inter. That obviously means that Lazio are without a coach, and they still are, because it seems like they will appoint Maurizio Sarri if they can agree on everything. That will be a really interesting appointment, as we'll come to later. But at this moment in time, it's looking likely that Sarri will be appointed at Lazio. So that's the first part of this. Then you also have another top club in Napoli who parted ways with Gennaro Gattuso at the end of the season. And Gattuso instantly got a new job at Fiorentina. And Napoli decided to appoint the former Roma and Inter coach Luciano Spalletti. So Spalletti comes in to Napoli. Gattuso moves to Fiorentina. Then you have a little further down the league, you have one of our favorite coaches at up back through, Roberto De Serbi, who moved to Shakhtar Donetsk. So he left Sassuolo and moved to Shakhtar Donetsk in Ukraine. Sassuolo then look very close to appointing a personal favorite of mine, Marco Giampaolo, who used to coach at Sampdoria and Empoli and Milan in the past. So that's another coaching change we have. And then we have 3 more. So Sampdoria and Claudio Ranieri decided to part ways after the season. It looks like Sampdoria will appoint the Empoli coach called Dionisi. He obviously got Empoli promoted to Serie A, but he looks likely to get a new job at a different club before even playing a game with Empoli in the top flight. So Alessio Dionisi, it looks likely to be appointed at Sampdoria. One of the former Sampdoria coaches, Eusebio Di Francesco, who was sacked a few years ago, he was sacked by Cagliari last season, and now he looks very close to joining Hellas Verona. And that is because Hellas Verona's coach from last season, Ivan Juric, has moved to Torino. So as you see, there's a lot of movements going on, and almost half the league have changed their coaches already, and we're only into like the first week of June. So a lot is going on, and if it's difficult to keep up, I would just advise people to just rewind that and listen again, because there's a lot of developments going on, and we'll look at a few of them. But as we said, we're looking at Serie A league next season, where basically half the teams will have new coaches from last season, and some of them will have just changed coaches with the rivals, as in the case of Inter. So yeah, that's the situation, and that's where we stand on the morning of June 4th. And at this moment in time, we don't know if all of these coaches will be appointed. It's looking likely right now, but that's where we stand as we record this.
Well, you are right to say that it's a lot to follow, because I was trying to like draw a diagram of all these coaches going everywhere, and it was impossible. So I guess what we should, let's look at the champions. Let's look at Inter. First of all, why would Conte leave after winning the league? What was the disagreement there? What's up with that? That's strange.
Yeah, it is very unusual, obviously, for a coach to leave just a few weeks after winning a league title. Like, what's come out really is that Conte had a meeting with the the president, Steven Zhang, and it appeared from that meeting that the club and the coach had, you know, different ideas on how to proceed after the title win. Conte is extremely ambitious. We've seen this in the past. Like, he won three straight league titles with Juventus back in, and that this was in the summer of 2014 on the back of the third one, and he left because he felt that they didn't spend enough money on players, and he wanted to keep buying and keep improving the team. And he felt that the way Juventus did it wasn't the way forward, so he left, basically. Now it's quite similar. So Inter have a lot of financial problems at the moment, so they need to sell players to raise some funds, and that means obviously to sell some of their best players to create some money coming in. And Conte obviously wants to build on his title success by signing more players and then obviously spending a lot of money. So it seems that Conte left because he felt that Inter will be weaker next season, and that's a no-go for him, because he wants to build on what he's already created. And apparently then he feels that he can't do it without some of these players that might leave. And Romelu Lukaku looks that like he will stay. He's been out talking this week that he will stay at the club, but it seems like the most likely to leave is Ashraf Hakimi, and that he will move to PSG for a lot of money, and that's basically the only one who's looking on the way out right now, which means Conte, you know, it basically quits over Hakimi, if that's the only deal that's gonna happen. So obviously he must be very devoted to Hakimi and some of these players, that he feels that if they are not there, he can't produce the results he has, which is quite sad, because it was nice to see Inter return to the top of the league. It's always nice for Italian football to have more clubs challenging, and especially when these three big clubs like Juventus, Inter, and Milan are at their peak. Really, it can only help Italian football, because those are the clubs that, you know, generate the most money, that have the biggest following, and that can help Italian football going into Europe as well if these clubs are strong. So for him to leave without just staying and working with the players he has and maybe making a few cheaper signings to improve the team could still have happened, but he's quite confrontational as a person, it seems. So for him, this is unusual for most coaches, but for Conte, it's not entirely unusual. He has a track record that he stays a very very short amount of times in his jobs. So his next move will be interesting.
Right, and we can come back to that a little later. But I know that you're a big Sassuolo fan. We've talked about different aspects of Sassuolo a few times on the podcast, and that I kind of love. I mean, I would have liked to see their coach stay, but what a random move it is to leave for Shakhtar.
Yeah, that came out of the blue. It's random, definitely, but it's also a really good fit. I read a piece a few weeks ago, I think, in The Athletic, where I think it was Jack Lang who wrote it about Shakhtar's whole project with like signing Brazilians and playing very 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 attacking football to suit these players that they bring in from Brazil. And when I read that, and then like I now saw that De Zerbi was appointed, it seems like a perfect match, because they speak about their playing philosophy in this article. I think it was the Sporting Director who was interviewed, and he said that, yeah, so we play always against teams that just drop back and defend with the entire team, and we need to be able to have players to break through really tight defenses and really compact teams, and that's why they sign Brazilians, because Brazilians can give you a show, I think the quote was. and then with the Serbian football, which is very very much focused on the little subtleties and the possession game, on how to draw opposition players out of position to create some space to attack and stuff, it seems like his football will be a perfect match for Shakhtar, and it will be extremely interesting to see how he does in the Champions League, because I think Shakhtar will go into the qualification round, one of them, and then he will have a chance to have a crack at Europe for the first time. And we saw that Shakhtar has some really good players in the squad. They beat Real Madrid, in Madrid for starters last season. So it's an interesting move from a lot of like cultural and football tactical reasons. But yeah, it was definitely a bit random.
No, but I agree. I mean, you know his tactics inside and out, and to hear you say that, I now have all the faith in the world in Shakhtar. And I love Shakhtar, man. The blend of Brazilians and Ukrainians and other random players that they have, it's awesome. It's beautiful. And they've recruited some incredible players over the years, man. Like all these Brazilian players that end up elsewhere, Fernandinho, Willian, to name a few, and then players who stick around, like Tyson. Like it's a unique situation, and it's successful at the level that they're competing at. It's not like they're gonna, I mean, you never know how far they can go in the Champions League, but for what they do, it's very successful. And I love that dynamic of Brazilians and Ukrainians, and just seeing these Brazilian players take the field in Ukraine, just like in the middle, when it's just dumping snow, they got the gloves, they got the tights. They're just like, what happened? How did I end up here, man? But so I'm excited to see where they go. And what else? What's another move in the Italian coaching scene that's got you excited?
Well, definitely Inzaghi coming to Inter. That's the big one. It's extremely interesting to see how he will do. Like Allegri coming to Juventus, which I think we'll touch on later. It's obviously a big one, because Allegri is a serial winner in Italy, and he's won the league with Juventus, as we mentioned, 5 times, and he's the last coach who won it with Milan. So he's someone who will definitely improve Juventus from where they've been this season. So they will be back challenging for the league. Trust me, they will be at the top. So it's really interesting to see these other clubs, like how do they compete with that? Because if you look at at Inter. They won the league quite comfortably this season, and Inzaghi is very similar to Conte in terms of tactics, not just in his formation, because he also plays a version of 3-5-2, but he sometimes uses a 10 more than two strikers and plays some sort of 3-5-1-1, if you will. But they're really similar in terms of, like, the way they press is quite similar. So you would see quite clear man orientation. So they will just sometimes chase almost mark someone from the opposition and not really focus too much on their positional structure. Just, okay, so as center forward, my job is getting that center back, stuff like that. So that's quite similar. Inzaghi is also very comfortable in dropping deep with the team and making sure that they're really compact and they fall back to use a back five to cover the width of the pitch. And then they have three center midfielders working quite hard and in terms of defending the center of the pitch and those areas. And then they have the two strikers or the 10 and one striker playing very close to the center midfielders to make sure that the team is extremely compact in central areas, and then when they win the ball, that they can attack quickly, and that's the big thing. That's similar, I think, as well, because Conte's teams are always good on the counter attack, and Inzaghi's Lazio have probably been, you know, one of the best counter attacking teams we've seen in Europe in the last 5 years. I mean, Ciro Immobile scored close to 30 goals for, you know, a good number of seasons, because he fits so well into the style of play where when you drop deep with your team, you obviously invite the opposition to move higher with the ball and move their defensive line higher. And what that does, you know, when you win the ball, is that you have a lot of space to run into. And Ciro Immobile has benefited greatly from that, because he's very good at timing runs and he's very quick and he makes clever runs in behind. So when Lazio win the ball and they moved it to Milinkovic-Savic or Luis Alberto or Lucas Leiva or whoever it was, they could a lot of the time hit early balls in behind for Immobile to run onto, and then he would just be extremely deadly when he came into finishing areas. And I mean, if you just listen to what I just said and then just remove the players and you think, okay, Lukaku running into those areas, or, you know, Eriksen playing those passes, or Barella playing those passes, or Brozovic playing those passes, or Sensi playing those passes, like, it seems like it's a really good match there. I mean, Lukaku, for all his, you know, physical abilities and his you know, very smart finishing, he's also very good at running the channels. He did it brilliantly when he played for Everton, specifically under Roberto Martinez, and he impressed at the World Cup when he played in that against Brazil, I think it was, when he played like as a split striker and De Bruyne played as a 10, sort of, and they didn't have a central player, but they had Lukaku and I think it was Hazard who played really wide to attack, like, from outside to in. And I think we'll see Lukaku score a lot of goals next season on the counter attack for Inzaghi's team. The big thing, like the question mark, will obviously be how Inzaghi will handle a title race, because we have to expect Inter to be in a title race. He took Lazio really close last season, and it looked likely not last season, the season before, the COVID hit season in 2019-20, where Lazio were on fire and they were flying, and they looked likely to, you know, properly challenged to win the league when the league was stopped. And then when they came back with they didn't have the depth in their squad as like Juventus and even Atalanta and Inter did at that time. So a lot of games in a short period of time over the summer definitely did not help their chances to win, but they still fell off quite drastically when in that title race. So it will be interesting to see how he handles that. He's never done it before, but with a group that just won it, that could probably help him as well. In terms of European football, he did okay at Lazio. He took them to the next to the knockout round, which Conte has failed at two years in a row. He took Lazio quite far in the Europa League once as well, to, I think it was a quarterfinal. So it's a really exciting appointment. It's about time that Inzaghi is given a bigger job. I thought he would end up at Juventus at some point, but now he's at Inter, so we'll see how he does. And, you know, with the players Inter already have, there's not really a need for them to go and spend more money, because they have a squad that suits the way Inzaghi plays, and it seems like an extremely clever appointment in my view.
Well, good to know. I'm in full agreement that Serie A is pretty much wide open next year. But I mean, like you say, this style, like Lukaku is perfectly suited to that style, and what a beast he was this season, man. He did it all. He could, like you said, he could run the channels, and he was just such a potent finisher in the traditional sense of the word too, man. Anything in the box was just, he would just gobble it up, and rightly crowned the Serie A player of the season, or MVP, I guess is the official term that they're using now. But anyway, any other clubs you want to touch on? What about Sarri?
Yeah, that's going to be, if Inzaghi is exciting and makes a lot of sense, I think Sarri is definitely the most interesting. And if that happens, we should mention that it hasn't been confirmed yet, but him at that team with Lazio would be really interesting, because, as I said, Lazio's played kind of a counter-attacking style the last couple of years, and that's not to say that they haven't been good in possession, because they have been, but they haven't had a focus on possession and a focus on breaking teams down with the ball as Sarri's teams do. So it would be a bit of a shift in style, and it would be, I think, enjoyable for a lot of those players. I mean, if we all look back on the team Sarri's coach, especially the Napoli team, is obviously the most famous one, but he also, he won the Europa League in England, and he finished in the top four with Chelsea, and then he obviously won the league with Juventus in 2020. So he comes back now, if he signs, he comes back to Italian football. If you want to say that, I mean, he obviously coached Juventus a year ago, but you know what I mean. If he returns to the league now, he does so with a lot of experience that he didn't have before. He hadn't won a title before anywhere, and now he's won two big ones. So he comes with more experience, and if you look at the players he would inherit, like the likes of Luis Alberto, the likes of Milinkovic-Savic, the likes of Joaquin Correa. You have a lot of players there who would, enjoy playing in a team where the focus is on having the ball more rather than allowing the opponent to have the ball and then counterattacking them. So I think it would be interesting to see how he would line the team up. Immobile is obviously an obvious starter. Interesting to see how he would fare, because, as I mentioned, he thrives when he has spaces to attack in behind an opponent's defense. If Lazio have a lot of the ball and push teams down, that space will disappear. So how will he fare really in a team where the space that he thrives on running into has been removed, and he has to be more of a combination player, if you will. And I mean, Sarri's improved every striker he's worked with, I think. I mean, Gonzalo Higuain had some decent seasons prior to Sarri rocking up, but then he scored 36 goals in 35 games or something like that, and broke the Serie A goal scoring record. So Sarri knows how to, and Sarri knows how to improve strikers. So I think Immobile would his style of play would change, but he's probably still able to do it. So it could be a diamond, it could be a back four, and which in itself is a change from the back fives Inzaghi's used. So will definitely be a back four, and then he would probably use a 4-3-3 or a 4-3-1-2. And then in that midfield diamond, you could see someone like Lucas Leiva at the base. You would have Milinkovic-Savic to one side. You would probably have someone new, I would think, to the other side. And then you would have Luis Alberto as a 10 with Immobile and maybe Correa up front. Or you could have Correa as a 10 and Alberto in midfield. So it would be extremely interesting to see, and I really hope it happens, because it feels to me like that squad would benefit from Sarri coming in. That's going to be interesting. And I just want to touch as well on Sarri's former club Napoli and Luciano Spalletti coming in. Luciano Spalletti for me is a really good coach. Hasn't had the success you would expect from his from the clubs he's coached. He did really well at Roma in his first spell there. That's when Francesco Totti was on fire, and I think it was especially 2006, 2007, when he scored like 30 goals or something like that, and he won the European Golden Shoe, or what is it called, Golden Boot, or something like that. And he, Spalletti believes in a very attacking style of play. He believes in having a lot of players in central areas, so he would normally attack with one fullback and see one winger move inside while the other winger hugs the touchline to keep with, and you would have the fullback on that side playing more narrow. And I mean, if you look at the players he would inherit, you have the likes of Insigne, Zielinski, you have Politano, who Spalletti coached at Inter. You have the extremely exciting Victor Osimhen up front, who looks as a proper talent. And then, you know, Fabian Ruiz. You have a lot of these players. Let's not forget Dries Mertens as well, who can play in a lot of attacking positions, and they can be quite fluid. And it seems a very good fit with the fluidity of the squad, really, that Napoli has, with the fluidity of attacking play that Spalletti believes in. So I think that's an interesting appointment as well.
Yeah, and for me, Victor Osimhen is in one of these seasons, he's just going to score 25 and just announce himself. His price tag is enormous, like we've touched on before, but I think he's worth it. I think he's going to be an incredible player. I haven't seen a player with such raw athletic talent, aside from, like, you know, a couple obvious ones like Ronaldo, but his ceiling, I believe, is, I don't even know, massive. So I can't wait to see what he pulls next season, if he can stay healthy. But Napoli definitely have a squad and the experience, and Fabian Ruiz, like we said, is the midfield marshal that can, you know, be a player that, you know, decides games and really propels a team towards the top of the table. So what about let me just highlight the one team that's not rotating coaches, and I don't think they really need to, but Atalanta holding strong, sticking with their guy. Yeah,
I think that's you know it's been well established now, I think, on this podcast that personally I am desperate to see Atalanta win something big with Gasperini. I think they deserve that after this incredible run they've been on for a number of years, and we will return to Atalanta and do a special episode and talk all about them. But with all these changes being made, I think definitely that Juventus will be, if they don't win the league, they will be in the top two, and with Allegri, I can't see them falling off, because they're not that far away. They need to change a few things. And it's interesting, just on a side note, that when we did the Juventus episode two months ago now, when we talked about, okay, so how could they improve in terms of tactics and transfers, and we mentioned Locatelli and Rodrigo De Paul as potential signings. And immediately when Allegri was appointed, and Juventus are changing their sporting director as well, the former one, Paratici, is on his way out, and also looking likely to arrive at Tottenham, which is interesting. But the two players that were picked out as being targets were Locatelli and Rodrigo De Paul. So I don't know if Allegri listens to our podcast. I really hope he does, but it seems like we share we share the same sentiments in terms of how Juventus needs to improve. So Juventus will be up there, but I think there's a chance for Atalanta, because every time a team changes a coach, there will be a period of, you know, of settling and getting to know each other and all that. So there might be a chance next season if Atalanta can start strongly, which they normally don't, and because normally they start quite poorly and then they just kind of build up steam and finish off really strongly. If they can, you know, be strong over the course of the season next year, they might have a chance, might have an outside chance for a very unlikely league title. But that's just a dream on my part. Milan haven't changed their manager either, so Pioli's still there, but I don't see them. I don't see them winning the league. But it will be an incredibly interesting season with all these changes being made, definitely.
For sure. But one thing that Atalanta have to address is, another topic, another player that we've highlighted, and actually Serie A defender of the year. And now I'm forgetting his name for some reason.
Christian Romero,
yeah. So he's going to be headed back to Juventus. That'll only strengthen their season because what a season he had. But yeah, I mean, to be the best defender in the league and losing him, now Atalanta have to address that if they have any chance. But hopefully they do, and hopefully they can start strong, because that would be an incredible story. That would be a little bit reminiscent of a Leicester 2015. Yeah. Was it 2015? 2006? I can't remember, but you know, yeah, a little bit. But even though they've shown their quality already, they've been in the Champions League, etc. So yeah, but wow, what a whirlwind. And I mean, I can't wait to watch and see how it unfolds. I know Ronaldo's going to be itching for another title. I mean, it's really sad to say, but who knows how many years he has left. And I would like to see him get another title and maybe another nice Champions League run. But anyway, real quick, let's talk about one of these managers, how they might affect the landscape of English football if the rumors are true. What happens if Antonio Conte does end up at Tottenham? What that means for Tottenham, what that means for the league, what that means for Harry Kane. A lot of ifs. But if he does, what would you think about that appointment, first of all?
First of all, it's extremely interesting. I definitely did not see that coming when we did the podcast. Was it last week? And it was rumored that they had started some kind of contact with Pochettino for him to return, and we've seen, you know, links to other coaches as well. But yeah, Conte wins wherever he goes, and when he's been at big clubs, I should add. But he's won a Serie B title back in the day as well. I think Tottenham, it depends on what you want from Tottenham, really, because I think Daniel Levy said a few weeks ago that what they want to do is find a coach to restore the values of the club in terms of, you know, attacking football and whatever, playing young players and stuff. And then Conte is not the obvious one. I know Inter scored a lot of goals this season again, but he's not normally characterized as an attacking coach. But he is a big name. I would definitely put him up on a list of the best coaches in the world. I mean, I don't think you can overlook him in terms of that. I mean, he wins. He won the Premier League, what, 3-4 years ago, and he won the Serie A now. He's had 3 Serie A titles in the past. He did well with the Italian national team. So it's interesting in the way that it would break with tradition at Tottenham, I think, to appoint a really, you know, world-class coach. Because when they appointed Pochettino, he was an up-and-coming coach, and when they appointed Mourinho, he was kind of, you know, he's on a downwards trajectory, if you will. He's a big name, but he's not producing the results to be characterized as being, you know, world-class at the moment. Conte is. So Conte is definitely up there. So it would probably be the first time in, I don't even know how long, you probably go back to Nicholson's days, when Tottenham had one of the best coaches in Europe, if they appoint Conte. So what that could do with the team in terms of which players they can attract, which players they can, in terms of Kane, can they get him to stay if he knows, okay, Conte is a serial winner, we will have a chance here. And I think we've seen in the past as well, that when you have a squad with decent players, and I'm not saying the Tottenham squad right now is as good as Liverpool's or Chelsea's or Man City's, but when Conte came to Chelsea, they were 10th, and he won the league in his first season, and that was a league title that was driven by his tactics, his setup, his ability to get everything out of his players. And I don't know if did Tottenham, they qualify for this new league, like the Conference League, I think, whatever that it will be. And I don't think they will prioritize that one. So they will mostly focus on the league. So they will only have like 38 games where they will be really, you know, spot on. These are the games we need to win. And, you know, I'm not saying that Tottenham will win the league, but I'm saying they will be a lot closer than with Conte than they would have been with another coach, because he's definitely someone who will come into a club, he will rip everything up to make sure it's the way he wants it, and if he is backed in the transfer market, which he probably will be, especially when you look at as I said, Fabio Paratici, the Juventus sporting director, coming as is looking likely to Tottenham as well. So you would have Paratici, his former boss at Juventus, and then Conte coming in a really, you know, it's a new structure at the club. They know each other inside and out, and I would expect them to dip into the Italian market, which is a bit cheaper to go shopping from than to go into the English market. So yeah, I could definitely see Spurs improving. I can see them definitely attacking the top four, if you will, to really go for a place in the Champions League. And then if they get that, you never know for his second season. But yeah, it's very interesting. It's not the attacking, like, exciting young appointment, but it's extremely exciting in the way that they've never had a coach as determined to win, I think, as Conte.
Interesting. And you said earlier that it's likely that he left Inter because he didn't see eye to eye with the chairman and he wanted funds, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So I would hope that if he does go to Tottenham, they'll have to promise him some backing. And yeah, if they can do that without selling Harry Kane, then go for it. And then things will be interesting. Because like you said, he will be able to attract bigger players who probably wouldn't want to come depending on who else they hired. But like you said, it would be a huge, right now it looks like Harry Kane wants out. He wants trophies. Yeah. He's put in his time. I don't think any Tottenham fans can really, you know, they can say whatever they want, but he deserves to do whatever he wants with his career at this point. He's given his entire, you know, if he wants to move on, there can be no qualms, in my opinion. If I was a Tottenham fan, I would say thanks for everything and go, you know, chase those trophies. But who knows if they keep him, that's a player that you need. That's the kind of quality player you need to lead you to a league title. He's definitely that caliber player. And if he can get a few other new faces around him, you never know. You never know. But man, this is going to be a long summer. I can't wait for the next season and see what happens to the transfer market in Italy and England and elsewhere. And we got the Euros coming up. So exciting times, as always, in the football world. And we'll be here to cover it all. So anything else you want to touch on before we head out?
No, let's just tell people to, you know, try and keep up with the developments in Italy, and then start looking forward to an extremely exciting season.
And as we move along, you will definitely have the tactical pieces up on the blog. So don't forget to check that out at runningtheshowblog.wordpress.com for all that great analysis. And I think that's it for us. So thanks for joining us, David. Have a good day over there in Sweden. I'm going to head off to bed here in Seattle, and we will see you guys next time. So thanks for tuning in. Good night, everybody.